Very warm good afternoon to all of you. We are now in the season of Lent. Lent is a time of self-reflection, a sober time, you could call it. Self-reflection leading up to the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And so our topic for today, taking up and laying down. What is it that we need to take up? What is it we need to lay down? Well, let's hear the words of Jesus in Mark 8, 34 to 35. Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it." In New Testament times, in Israel, it was common to see someone carrying the cross. When the onlookers saw, they knew exactly what it meant, because the Romans who were occupying Israel at that time, it was their custom that when they wanted to crucify, when they wanted to condemn a criminal to death, the form was crucifixion. And so the criminal had to carry his cross to the place of execution. When onlookers saw it, they knew someone carrying the cross is someone going to his death. And so when Jesus spoke about carrying the cross, the disciples would have understood immediately Jesus is talking about dying. And yet, Jesus was not talking about dying a physical death. And we know that because Luke 9:23 makes it clear. Luke 9:23 says, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." You see the word highlighted there is daily. It is impossible to die a physical death every day. Once you are dead physically, you are dead. You cannot die physically again and again every day. So obviously Jesus is not talking about physical death. He's talking about another kind of death. Basically two things. He's talking about how we can die to self and live for God. This is a season not only of Lent, but also a time, a happy time, and it's called Chinese New Year. Chinese New Year, famous for many things. I think for many people, the favorite highlight of Chinese New Year is pineapple tarts. Ever since I was a young child, I found pineapple tarts absolutely irresistible. And so some people think Chinese New Year, Lent. Lent is a time of denial. And so some people think, well, in Lent, I have to deny myself. I have to stop eating pineapple tarts. You know, on the first day of Chinese New Year, I went to my relative's place, and it was a good family gathering. We don't gather so much nowadays. We did at Chinese New Year, and it was good. And just talking to some of my relatives, one of the aunts said she got into trouble with her doctor just recently. I said, "Oh, what happened?" She said, "I ate 4 pineapple tarts in one day, and it was too much. It spiked up the blood readings, and the doctor gave her a big scolding." So, for some people, there's this idea. Self-denial means don't eat pineapple tarts, not so many. Don't eat your favorite food. Abstain from it. Is this what Jesus meant? I'm sure Jesus meant something far deeper than this. Not self-denial. Self-denial is when you don't take what you want to take. But denying yourself is something far deeper. And it means self, when you deny yourself, it means that you, yourself, number one, will no longer be number one. Yourself will no longer be number one. I think if we are honest, we will know that many times the things we do, the things we think, the things we say, it's because we place ourselves number one in our life. And we want everyone to do things that we want. We want to be number one. One day, just very recently, I was at home and I was praying, and I took up my favorite place for prayer, which is a seat near the window. And as I sat near the window and as I looked out at the trees, I prayed and I asked God, "What is this self that you want me to die to daily? And as I prayed, God showed me two things. He said, self is my ambitions and my desires. My ambitions and my desires. You know, it was a very painful thing that the Holy Spirit spoke to me, because I'm a pastor. And as a pastor, I have ambitions. But in my mind, my ambitions are spiritual ambitions, and they are things for the good of the church. But Holy Spirit said, no. He said, no, these are your ambitions. They are not my ambitions. And as for my desires, the Holy Spirit reminded me of this verse, Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? So the Holy Spirit was telling me that if I follow my heart, there will be trouble. And as I agonized over this, my ambitions are wrong, my desires are wrong, the Holy Spirit gave me a fresh revelation of the cross. You know that when the Romans crucified a person onto the cross, they would put nails into basically two parts of the body. One is the hands, or more accurately, the wrists, and then the feet. And the Lord said to me, they speak of the things I must die daily to. My hands are things that I long to touch, my desires. My feet speak of my ambitions, where I long to go. So both what I long to touch and where I long to go, these things must be put to death daily. A daily dying, in other words, bit by bit, more and more every day, I die to self. There's a famous story about this man, Dr. Richard Teo King Siang. You may have heard of him. He was a successful young man. He had everything you could want. He was very good looking, very muscular, very rich. He made his fortune in aesthetic medicine. Physically, he was a gym freak. He went to the gym to exercise with heavy weights. He would swim, he would run 6 times a week, he would be exercising. And then suddenly, out of the blue, when he was feeling so good, suddenly he was diagnosed with cancer. And by the time he was diagnosed, it was already stage 4B. It had already reached his brain. A total shock, because he felt fine except for a persistent backache. And he couldn't believe that he was a dying man. But as a dying man, he came to his spiritual senses. He found personal faith in Jesus. And then he gave a talk to the Dental Christian Fellowship. And remember, by this time, he knew that he was dying of cancer. And this is what he said. He said, I thought true joy is about pursuing wealth. Why? Because let me put it to you this way. In my deathbed, I found no joy whatsoever in whatever objects I had. My Ferrari, thinking of the land I was going to buy to build my bungalow, etc. Having a successful business, it brought me zero comfort, zero joy, nothing at all. Do you think I can hold on to this piece of metal and it's going to give me true joy? No, it's not going to happen. This piece of metal was his Ferrari that he had so longed for, that he was so proud of. But he said in his dying bed, can this piece of metal bring him joy and comfort? Certainly not. Dr. Richard Teo died at a very young age, 40, only 40, a young man. But by then, he had come to a realization that his life apart from God is nothing, that living for himself means nothing. So we are to die to self. We are also to live for God. Mark 8:35. Jesus said, for whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. When we live for ourselves, Jesus said, we are losing our life, And that word lose in Greek is apolemi. It means to ruin, to destroy. So we think that in pursuing our own self-interests, we are building up our life. But actually, Jesus said, we are destroying ourselves, we are ruining ourselves. How much better it is for us to lose our life for the sake of Jesus and for the sake of the gospel. You know, in Bible times, disciples would literally leave everything they had to follow their rabbi, their master, their teacher. Was it an easy life? Well, let's consider the disciples of Jesus. They saw him pray, a great prayer warrior. They saw him pray and they said, teach us to pray. They saw him heal the sick, raise the dead. And so they must have been simply delighted when Jesus said in John 14:12, you will do even greater things than this. What could be more wonderful than performing healing miracles, than raising the dead? Jesus said, you will do even greater than this. And so, yes, teach us to pray. Teach us to do miracles. But now, in Mark 8:31, Jesus taught his disciples that he must suffer, be rejected, and die. And now suddenly, for the first time, Peter, his beloved disciple, Peter suddenly said to Jesus, no, may it never be. And Jesus, you must not suffer. You know, it's against our natural inclinations, isn't it? Who likes to suffer? None of us. And so Peter rebukes Jesus, you will not suffer, you should not suffer. But this is how Jesus responded in Mark 8:33. Jesus rebuked Peter and said, get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. Man's way says, I don't like to suffer, I don't want to suffer. And Satan says, yeah, suffering is no good for you. Don't suffer. But sometimes suffering is the only way we can fulfill the will of God for ourselves. Certainly in the case of Jesus, it was only through suffering, the way of the cross, that Jesus could fulfill the will of the Father, that he, Jesus, would become the Savior of the world. And how about us? Will we live for God? I'm reminded of the times in the past when I used to go on frequent mission trips to the Philippines, and we went to a southern island in the Philippines that was beautiful in many ways. An island, beautiful sea breeze, everything beautiful except for one thing, and that is there were very frequent power failures. We call it blackouts. The Filipinos call it brownouts. It's the same meaning. The meaning is no power. And it happens so often, especially at night. And so when we were preparing to leave Singapore, to go to Philippines, we knew one thing we always had to bring with us was a torch. But you know, we were kiasu Singaporeans. Not enough to bring any torch. We had to bring the biggest and the best. And so, if you've ever seen one like this, we brought one exactly like this. It's everything you could ever dream of in a torch, a perfect torch. Firstly, it had the normal flashlight function so that you can flash into dark places. And then it even had a fluorescent tube. And it was really good because at night, if the lights go out, just turn on the fluorescent tube and you can light up a whole room. And then this perfect torch, it even had a flashing function. So if you were ever lost in the jungle, you just turn on the flashing function and the torch will go. So hopefully someone will see you and someone will rescue you. So it's a perfect torch. And I was so proud of it. Everywhere I went, I brought it. It was my lifeline. Even though it was so huge and so heavy, I just carried it with me everywhere. I would never go anywhere, especially at night, without this torch. But I remember the local Filipino pastor, he was not impressed with my torch. Not at all. In fact, he preferred to walk on mountain paths at night with no torch at all. And so I asked him, why is this? You don't want a torch, you want to walk in the dark. And he said to me something very interesting. He said, you depend on your torch. I depend on the moon and the stars. And I thought, oh yes, yes, that is true, isn't it? I depend on this silly torch of mine, my great pride and joy. You depend on God's natural light, the moon and the stars. And as I reflect on it, this is symbolic. The torch is symbolic of me charting my own future. I shine to where I want to go, and I walk that way. But when you depend on the moon and the stars, you are depending on the path that God lights up for you to take. And so, taking up and laying down. What is it we are to take up? What is it we are to lay down? Lay down ourself. Die daily. Take up the life that God has called us to. In conclusion, and this is a very short sharing, in conclusion, let me tell you about what happened in my childhood days in school. My teacher asked us, what do you want to be when you grow up? What is your ambition in life? And so it was a common answer. Many of my friends, they said, I want to be a teacher. I want to be a doctor. I want to be a lawyer. Well, these are good jobs and they pay well, especially doctors and lawyers. Common answers. But for me, it was always that I wanted to be a journalist. I always wanted to write. And so you can imagine, when I finally got out to work, when I finally grew up, and I got my first job, and I was a journalist. Wow, it was a dream come true. Everything I had ever wanted, I got it. My first job, I was a journalist. I was so happy. But it didn't take me long before I realized, this is not what I imagined. This is not what I dreamed. Real-life journalism is not like the journalism of my dreams. And by that time, God had begun to give me new dreams. And so I remember one particular mission trip. I was in the rural part of Thailand. And as we ministered, I found that it's like the Bible come to life. We preached the gospel, people got saved. We prayed for the sick, people got healed. We commanded demons, and demons ran away. The Bible came to life. And I said, this is so wonderful. This is what I want to do for the rest of my life. This is my new dream. Of course, there were practical considerations, like money, because the salary that the church would pay is nothing compared to what a journalist would get. But as I was praying, the Holy Spirit spoke to me through this verse, Acts 20, 24. Paul says, but I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. Paul said, I do not consider my life worth anything except that I can speak about the gospel. My life is worth nothing unless I can preach the gospel. And this verse so impacted me, it became a major consideration for me to leave journalism and to serve God full-time in church. It has become a life verse for me. And this path that God chose for me has brought me greater fulfillment than the path that I chose for myself. A path that I chose where my dreams and reality did not square up, but God's path is perfect. What is the Lord saying to you today? Something that you need to die to daily? Your ambitions? Your desires? And is He calling you to do something? To take up a life which He has for you? You know, it doesn't matter what stage of life we're in, how young, how old. The Lord is always leading. He always has something more for us. Amen. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Let's close our eyes. Yes, Lord. Oh, the yes, Lord. Holy Spirit, I ask that you search our hearts. Show us the futility of our ambitions, the selfishness of our desires. Show us how foolish it is to make ourselves number one. And Father, show us how we can die daily to self. And Father, show us the path ahead, the path that you have chosen for us, the reason why you made us, the reason why you brought us into this world. Great fulfillment, great destiny. Father, speak to each and every one of us, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes, yes. Oh, Ramashadas, Ramakaramashadas. Oh, Ramashadas. The Lord is speaking to some of us now to rededicate ourselves to Him. For we have strayed. Instead of Jesus being number one, we have made ourselves number one. And today, will we return to the Lord? Today, will we renew our first love for Jesus? Later, there'll be a time of ministry, and we invite any one of you who feels the Lord speaking to you, touching you right now, to come forward for prayer, and we will pray with you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So before we have the closing song, before we have ministry, let's pray a blessing for each other. Can we have the words on the screen, please? The benediction. We pray this for each other. May the grace of our